Dallas performance last night.
Trey, what I say again on Monday? He's a bad man. Man, look, he is the only one of the two players to have to drop 60 points in a season. The other player is Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt the Stilt the Great. You know, rest in peace to Wilt Chamberlain, though, because he was a great scorer too. But dang, Dollar, he came in the clutch again. He is showing that he wants to be in the predicament of being in the playoff, the eighth seed. And then this, and this performance, though, it's just, it's tremendous. Like 60 points, man, they were just trading away threes, man. How many threes? Like, it was just so many threes going around in that game. But dang, Dollar prevailed again. He actually led his team. And he actually brought them back into the game. And hell, when they needed a shot, he gave it to them. I think Dame Dollar performed excellent again. Well, let me look at his stat line again. 61 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. I'm going to take that because Dame Dollar showed up again. Again.
Yes, he did. He definitely balled out. And I told you that Damian Lillard is one of the best players we have in the NBA. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, Clarence. I'm going to tell you right now. I think Damian Lillard is the best point guard in the NBA right now. Right now. Ooh. Yes, because Steph Curry is at home. He at home with Aisha right now. We know Steph Curry is a 2-time NBA MVP, 3-time NBA champion, the greatest shooter in NBA history by far. But Damian Lillard isn't too far behind, honestly. I know I said by far, but Damian ain't too far behind himself because Damian can really light it up. Kyrie Irving is at home right now as well. He's not in the NBA bubble with the Nets. We look at Chris Paul. He's done an outstanding job leading the Oklahoma City Thunder to a playoff appearance, and I think he's a legitimate MVP candidate. You know, I believe right now when you look at the rest of the point guards in the NBA, I think Dame Dollar is the best point guard playing right now. Just right now, Clarence, because he is putting up statistical numbers that are really – crazy. Like, it's crazy what he's doing right now. Let me give you some of these numbers. In two games, after missing his two free throws against the Los Angeles Clippers, he's had 112 points on 2-point field goals. He's 20 of 31. That's 64% shooting from the floor. On 3-point field goal attempts, he's 13 of 29. That's 44% shooting from the floor. On his free throws, he's 33 of 34 from the free throw line. That's 97%. This is since he missed those two free throws against the Clippers. And then in the fourth quarter in two games, since that Clipper game, he has 40 points, two point shots, 3 of 4 from the field. 3-point shots, 6 of 9 from the field. Free throws, 16 of 17. Damian Lillard is getting it done for the Portland Trail Blazers. This is the first time in Portland Trail Blazers history where a player has had back-to-back 50-point games. This is Dame Dollar's 6th 50-point game of the season. That's most in the NBA. Yeah. Damian Lillard is showing why right now he is the best point guard we have in the NBA. Again, I love Steph Curry and what he's done for the NBA and all of his accomplishments. I love Russell Westbrook as well, the triple-double machine when he was balling for Oklahoma City Thunder. Kemba Walker, he's, you know, been sensational throughout his career for the Hornets. And now he's in a position where he's going to compete for a championship with the Celtics. But when I look at the rest of the point guards in the NBA right now, Clarence, I think Damian Lillard is the best that we have in the game. And I believe because of Damian Lillard, the Portland Trail Blazers have a shot at upsetting the Lakers in the first round.
Look, I know Damian Lillard is phenomenal. All these games, honestly, Trey, are most must wins. And he won a lot of games in these big games, though. So I give him massive credit. But look, I want to transition to your favorite player, man. You know, Skinny Melo. He dropped 27 last night to help Dame Dollar with the scoring. So tell me, what you think of his scoring?
Melo has been a huge contributor for the Portland Trail Blazers, and he has proved all of the haters in the media wrong. Everybody in the media was wrong about Melo. Everybody was ready to send Melo home to La, and all my guy has done, Clarence, since he's been in the bubble, since the games have mattered, he's dropped 26, 20, 21 points. One game, he only had 7 points, but Dame Dollar had 50-plus. So, Melo had to do very much. Then he had 15, 13, 21 in the opening game against the Memphis Grizzlies, hit 2 key 3-point shots down the stretch of that game that got it to overtime. Since being in the bubble, Melo is someone that still can create his own shot and get to the basket. He's an 85% free throw shooter. Melo can also still hit the perimeter shot. He hit two big-time three-point shots last night down the stretch for the Portland Trail Blazers. So Melo is still a bona fide scoring machine. And I was mad because we had all these haters last year hating on Melo, pretending as if Melo can't still contribute on a team. You had my boy Melo going on First Take and talking to Stephen A. and Max about why he's not in the NBA, Clarence. They tried to embarrass Melo and put him out the league. I'm happy for Carmelo Anthony. He has proven that he is still a legitimate starter in this league.
Man, I'm gonna just say this. I love the way how Portland gave him the role, that veteran role. Like, hey, we don't need you to give us a lot of scoring, but we need a certain number that we need you to drop. And he been delivering for them. I can't lie. I've been watching all these Portland games. Melo has been playing the role that they will need, like that veteran that can give them an extra bucket. And Melo has been bingo. Like, he just been bingo. He's been effective with him. Like, in the last three games, he had at least 20 points, and them 20 points matter because when they needed a bucket, he gave them the bucket, and he's delivering. You know, we know Melo is a clutch player. He delivering the clutch time, and he proved that in this bubble that he hit clutch shots for his team. If Dame is not playing his game right, and CJ McCollum is not, and matter of fact, CJ McCollum is playing with a fractured back, so that might hurt the team. That might hurt the team. But for Melo, I think he deliver on everything you ask him. Like Dame even stated it. Like, if he wished he would have had him 3 years ago. And 3 years ago, I probably would have said, yeah, Melo and them, they got a chance to make it to the finals because, like, we know what he brings to the table, but he had to accept his new role into with this new team. And it's working out, panning out fine. I think Melo's having a great year.
And Melo was a legitimate co-star last night because Nurkic and CJ McCollum, they didn't show up. They didn't show up yesterday, Clarence.
Yesterday, they were sleeping.
CJ McCollum went 2 of 14 shooting from the floor. He was a minus 25 for the Portland Trail Blazers on the court. He only had 8 points. Nurkic, he only had 6 points. He had as many points as he had fouls. He fouled out the game, Clarence. So he was a minus 12 in the game. Nurkic and McCollum didn't show up. But again, McCollum has a fractured back. I hope McCollum can get healthy for the playoff run because you're going to need CJ McCollum to step up and be able to drop at least 20 to 25 points to be a co-star along Dame. I don't think Melo, as much as I love Melo and as great as I think Melo is, I don't think Melo can give you 26 every night. I think I think Melo can still give you a solid 17, 18 points, but you need CJ McCollum to take on that role of being a co-star alongside Damian Lillard. So I got to see more from CJ. I expect CJ to step up in the season finale against the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night.
Well, you consider Dame and CJ a top duo in the league. So we expecting him to drop something close near as Dame dollar. And I'm not saying give us 40 if Dame give us 40, but we need at least like 25 if Dame is scoring like at least 30, man. But
real quick, before we move on, do you believe the Mavs can threaten the Clippers in the first round?
Honestly, I don't see it. I don't think they're a big threat. I don't think they're a big threat to the Clippers because I feel like the Clippers, they can game plan around these two stars on the Dallas Mavericks team. And for Luka, I seen Kawhi Leonard guard Luka. I mean, he had him – not saying he had him on shut, but he slowed him down from playing his game. And if you keep switching up him and Paul George, I think that'd be tremendous. And for Porzingis, I think for him that – He won't be a big threat to the Clippers because the Clippers they're good. They're a good perimeter defender team. And you know, Porzingis likes shooting the ball. He likes shooting the ball. I think if they take that away from him, they go struggle. They go like struggle.
Yeah, I don't see the Mavs being a legitimate threat to the Clippers in the first round. I think the Clippers will beat the Mavericks in 5 games because of Luka and Porzingis' talent. I'll give the Mavericks 1 game, but I don't see them beating the Clippers because the Dallas Mavericks, they don't defend. I watched multiple instances last night watching the game where Damian Lillard came off the pick and roll, and Porzingis, he had no answers for Dame. He couldn't keep up with Dame. So the Dallas Mavericks, as much as we always talk about the Portland Trail Blazers not defending, the Dallas Mavericks, as a 7 seed, they don't defend either, Clarence. And even in those games that I've watched that have been thrillers, that they played in, like against the Milwaukee Bucks, against right. the Houston Rockets earlier in the season, they was giving up so many points. They were scoring because Luka can score, and Luka's a great facilitator, but they couldn't get any stops, and that's the problem that I have with the Dallas Mavericks. I think the Clippers will put them out in five games, I think it'll be a very competitive series.
Yeah, I agree, man. I definitely agree, but my thing is this, they don't play defense, so it's going to hurt them very a lot.
Real quick, Clarence, let's move on and talk about the Phoenix Suns real quick. The Phoenix Suns beat the Sixers 130-117. They're 7-0 in the NBA bubble. How impressive are you with the Suns' performance so far in the bubble? Real quick.
First of all, is we talking about the Phoenix Suns, man? Are we literally watching talking about the Phoenix Suns? Like a team that never even made the playoffs in like almost a decade, man. But they're performing well. Devin Booker is actually leading this team. They're 7-0 in this bubble. And I think they're more alive as the Portland Trailblazers too, because they've been playing tremendous too. See, we haven't been talking about Devin Booker because all the recognition been on Dame Dollar and the Portland Trailblazers having these big games. But Devin Booker, he's been beating some top teams, and he's been showing like we still have a chance to make the playoffs. So I think it's gonna come down to the last minute if you go who you want to see more. You want to see the Clippers in there, or you want to see the Suns? That is crazy. I mean, I ain't even mentioning the Suns in the playoffs, man. That is crazy.
The Suns are playing great basketball, and Devin Booker is leading the way. He's averaging 31 points per game, 6 assists, and he has his team at 7-0 so far in the bubble. They're undefeated. He is a legitimate young superstar in this league. The brother offensively, Clarence, he's lethal. Like, he's unguardable when he has it going. And I'm not sure, honestly, when you look at the NBA bubble MVP, I'm not sure right now who deserves it more, whether it's Dame Dollar or Devin Booker, with honorable mention to T.J. Warren for the Pacers. T.J. Warren has been playing great for the Indiana Pacers so far in the bubble. But also, I want to give some credit to Monty Williams, the head coach for the Phoenix Suns. He's done a hell of a job coaching this team, and this type of success will carry over, Clarence, into next season for the Phoenix Suns. No matter what happens the rest of the way for the Phoenix Suns, they have already won. They 7-0 in the bubble. This kind of success that they're having is confidence to carry you into the next season. So I like what the Phoenix Suns are doing. So overall, but it's that time of the show, Clarence. it's that time of the show. The guest appearance this week, I'm so excited about it. She is a reporter at Fox Sports 1340 AM in Hopewell, host of the Sports Smarts podcast series at National Sports Media Association. She's a sideline reporter at Georgetown University and the Big East. She has covered the NBA Finals, the Super Bowl, out of Baltimore, Maryland. We welcome award-winning sports reporter and host Kelsey Nicole Nelson to the show. Kelsey, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having. Look, I love that. I love that intro. I am great. I'm excited to join y'all. Y'all talk to Baltimore Justice. So look, I'm happy. I'm happy.
We're so excited for you to be on the show, Kelsey. We're ready to talk some sports with you, man.
Yes, we are. But you know, we're gonna get to some sports, Clarence. Pump the brakes. Let's talk about Kelsey real quick. Let's talk about you, Kelsey. Let's get right to it. I know you grew up in Montgomery County, Maryland, but you attended Clarksburg High School. Can you talk about your experience growing up in the state of Maryland and how it impacted your life overall?
Yeah, let me tell you, there's no place like the DMV. I'm so honored to grow up here. I love it. That's why I went to school here, Maryland and Georgetown. It's just such a unique place and helped me become who I am. My family's Southern, so I'm that Southern Belle that was born in the DMV area. But there's always stuff going on. It was easy to get into sports here, right? We have everything. And then there's such a mix of culture. Like, go-go music is part of my blood. We put mumbo sauce on all of our chicken. Like, it's just...
Whoa.
And then football and crabs. Like, that's what we do. We love football. We love our crabs, our crab cakes. And I wouldn't take it away. So I love Maryland. See, I'm rocking the gold. That's in our state flag. But I love it. And so I'm thankful. My high school was just amazing. I was part of the 4-year graduating class there. And I got to do a lot there. It was over the yearbook, newspaper, played sports, got my feet wet into the industry. And then kind of the rest is history, as they say. So I love it. Shout out to Clarksburg. Shout out to Montgomery County and all the great people out there.
I love the energy, Kelsey, and I really do. And while I be trying to understand Maryland, I be trying to like follow like the Ravens because Lamar, he be like B-more. He's like, yeah, we in a B-more Maryland. So I be like, okay, I don't know what that means or that slang, but I want to ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, so tell me, like, when did you realize you wanted to be a sports journalist growing up?
Yeah. And so I always tell this story. Like, I was always a daddy's girl. Like, I literally have a girl daddy. It's me and my sister. My dad's at Grambling State University. So, like, literally, I grew up in a football world. I grew up with Bayou Classics and HBCU sports. And so I always had to be around the game. I loved playing the game. I knew I wanted to play sports. But I think in high school, I was that injured player. I was like, you know, I don't know about these things. So I think the next best thing and cover the sports. And that's what I wanted. I just always wanted to be around the game. I've always loved talking to people and telling stories. I think high school's like, you know what? I'm going to make this a career. And then ever since then, no one's been able to stop me. So it's just been trying to continue to grow and trying to just continue to grow the brand and connect with so many great fans.
Now, Kelsey, what sports did you play when you were in high school?
I played basketball and volleyball.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Basketball and volleyball. Okay. Which one excited you the most? Which one did you have the most passion for, basketball or volleyball?
Passion for basketball, but I didn't start playing volleyball until high school. So for me, I think volleyball was fun just because I learned it in high school and you got to grow with the sport. And volleyball is a lot. Look, I had a lot of bad elbows and knees for a while, but I'm back now, back better than ever. Look, as you get older, I promise it does not get worse. I think I'm in the best shape of my life.
Man, see, honestly, I love volleyball to be honest, because I played volleyball in high school, not for the team though, but you know, when it was in gym, I was happy. Oh, I'm trying to play volleyball, like, because I was like serving and spiking. It was exciting. It was competition too. But yeah, definitely. So Kelsey, so can you tell me, like, you know, you a sports journalist and sports journalism, and you're a reporter. Can you tell us, like, the obstacles about being, like, a journalist and a sport and a reporter, though? It seemed like you just always busy. Like, I looked at your resume. You previously worked for NASCAR, SB Nation, NBC Sports, Washington Arena Football League. So can you tell me, like, the obstacles in that, like, career?
Gosh, where do I start? Like, how long is this show again? No, I'm just playing. But a lot. Look, I mean, I think you choose this career because you want to work. It's a career where you have to put a lot of work in. You are always busy. I am that friend that always is changing schedules, can't make happy hours because, whoops, something came up. I have to be there. I have to cover that. But I love it. I'm that person that loves the thrill. I like that no day is the same. And look, I'm a Black woman in sports. There's a lot of obstacles every day that you face. We talked about working for NASCAR. People don't expect someone that looks like me. I just was at Super Bowl in February. You know, I kind of stood out on Radio Row. Not many Black women. In sports talk radio. And so it's always an obstacle. You always have people say, thinking you don't know what you're talking about. You have people judging you by your looks all the time, your weight. It's a lot. Like I said, it's something that I love. It's something that I want to do. No one's going to talk me out of it. And I think it's important for people like me to be here to make sure that we create more space for people that look like me to come through the doors. So it's not as hard for them. And of course, we have to thank the pioneers that came before. But it's a lot. It's busy schedules. If you have a family, look, you have to have people that understand in your life because your schedule is just so crazy and busy every day. And of course, now with COVID, we're all kind of asking, well, what's next? You know, what are we doing? How are we trying to? I had to completely change my show now to do interviews like we're doing now. Lots of Zoom interviews, lots of Zoom.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm doing my job from my house, not as, you know, not at the games. Now for sideline reporting, I'm pretty much probably not doing it. You see college sports getting canceled left and right.
Oh, so, God.
Yeah. What?
But, you know, I love it.
Yeah, we'll get to that here shortly. And you kind of mentioned it a little bit when you were just talking. Let me ask you a question, Kelsey. As a female sports reporter, being in sports and just in general, sometimes I think that women get overlooked a lot. And can you discuss some of the challenges that you've had to overcome and how it motivates you to want to accomplish more being in the sports broadcasting industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean,
great question.
Like, I think our voices are unfortunately still silenced. We're still always thought of as last. And sometimes I think we're supposed to be that token. Well, let's just get a woman to get a woman. No, get a woman because she's qualified and she can do her job and she's going to do it to the best of her ability and maybe better than you. That's my mindset and that's my frame. But again, we're judged so often and so easily. You still have women sometimes waiting to get into locker rooms, right? Like, you know, oh, is it appropriate for a woman to be there? What do you mean? Like, what do you mean? It's the craziness that we face every single day. And then, you know, you always stand out. And again, you have people always questioning, well, how did she get there? Why is she there? So it's always having to answer those questions. So you have to be confident in yourself. And I always say, if you're in a room, know you're supposed to be there and own it. Own it. Make sure people know your name and that they know the quality of your work. And I think as women, it's something we have to do to the best because we're not allowed to make mistakes. Because if a female makes a mistake, you know, no one's going to let her live it down, especially the people with the happy Twitter fingers. They want won't let you forget it. So it's always kind of having to be perfect. But I say being perfect is just being prepared. Being prepared for anything that comes up, because that's what sports is. COVID came, you had to be prepared,
right?
Like, I mean, no right. technically prepared, but if you know your stuff, just like an interview, things change, right? You might be waiting to interview one player. Well, wait, he got injured, so now it's another focus. You just always have to be prepared for what's next. But as women, again, we have to do our job 2 times, 3 times, and as a Black woman, probably 8 times better than everything else.
Right. Now, we got a couple more questions before we get into some sports, Clarence. Go ahead. You got another one you want to ask her?
It was a short, brief one though, Kelsey. Like, you know, you growing up, you wanted to be this sports journalism and you was into sports. What was your biggest motivator, like, that kept you on high water?
I have to say my parents, like literally my parents, especially my dad and my mom, there's at least one of them were always at every single game. And I have those parents I can do anything. So growing up, you couldn't tell me anything. Cause look, now my dad said I could be here, I could do this. So look, I'm
yeah.
It's great having that support, and that's why I'm a big, big, big proponent of parents being involved in their children's lives and athletics. And if their parents aren't there, they need some type of guardian, a person, mentor, somebody that can be there to support them, because those relationships so early on are so important. So I have to thank them, you know, for doing it. Even now, thank gosh, they still live in the same area. They'll be at my games, and I'm sideline reporting. My mom's like, "That's my baby. She's the one." It's awesome. And I have to say, like, having their support meant the world, because again, I knew I could do anything, and they've always pushed and propelled me, and they, you know, came on this journey with me. They didn't know what it was like to have a daughter in this industry, but you know, they're embracing it, they're loving it, and it's so great to have them along the journey.
Yeah.
Now I know you've covered the NBA finals, the WNBA finals, the Super Bowl. What was your first major sports event that you covered, and what was that experience like, and how nervous, Kelsey, were you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think it depends on what you like. Because I covered a NASCAR series race very early on. But if you're not in NASCAR, you're like, yeah, that's not big. I've covered, you know, PGA. Yeah. If you're into golf, you know, that's big. But again, I think it depends. But I think for most sports fans, because we love basketball, I think that NBA finals that I covered was probably the biggest one that everyone's like, wow, you all were there. Because if we go back to 2016, you guys remember the teams that were there.
Yeah.
You remember that and who came up. And it was so great to be there. Especially now that Oracle Arena it's no longer where the Warriors are obviously going to be playing. It's just so many memories, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. And once you get to that professional sports level rank, you have to kind of differentiate yourself and make sure, like, people know why you're there. And once you get to a finals, you feel like you've done the work to be the journalist that you want to be. And so after that, I feel like it was just much easier for me to kind of get into places, get credentialed. People knew my name more. And then, of course, just covering the Super Bowl now, I will say that's probably the next biggest one, just because, especially now with COVID, that was the last, like, huge event that I covered in Miami.
Yeah.
You had only known that was going to be, like, one of the last big events. I mean, there's so much more you probably would have tried to do, but, you know, it was great. It's great. There's nothing like, and I always encourage, like, young journalists, work your way there, because when you get there, be ready for it, but it's something that you'll never forget. But most people don't get to go to NBA Finals. Most people don't get to go to Super Bowl.
Right.
It's an honor. I'm forever thankful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, Clarence. Let me ask her one more question, because she kind of alluded to it when she was talking.
You got it.
I wanted to ask you, so far in your career, have you had a moment or an accomplishment, Kelsey, something that made you feel as if you have arrived or you belong in sports journalism? If so, can you share that moment with us?
I'll say earlier this year, I found out I was the DMV Sports Media Person of the Year. I told you guys, I love the DMV. Like, I am the DMV. Like, it's my hometown. I'm near and dear to it. No one can say anything bad about this area. I will come for you. Like, it's just that type of thing. So being able to get an award from your hometown, for people that grew up with you, saw you grow up, you know, saw me from little Kelsey to Kelsey Nicole Nelson now, it was so special to me. There's so many greats come through the sports scene in this area. And to do it in the nation's capital, come on. It's nothing
else.
I think for me, that spoke a lot, and that let me know I'm here for a purpose. People like what I'm doing, and that to me made me know that I have to keep delivering, right?
Yeah.
Like, once you get that award, you play at that level and then get even higher. So it raised the bar for me. And again, it was just so special. I found out about it at Super Bowl. Like, what better way to find out you won an award like that than at the Super Bowl? Like, it was a lot. Very touching. I'm not usually an emotional person, but I was emotional that day.
you deserve it, though. You
deserve it.
You won that trophy. Like, man, that's a big accomplishment, like, to be honest. But okay, Kelsey, let's transition to some football real quick. So I read on your bio that you was a Ravens fan. You were a big Ravens fan. So tell me, when did you start liking the Baltimore Ravens?
Oh my gosh. So I've been here since the beginning, 96. Like, it's been my, I told you, me and my dad would always always, and it's so funny, I always tell this story. So growing up, most people in Montgomery County, they love the Washington football team. It's weird. Yeah. Like, even Maryland, it's like Baltimore is technically not in the DMV.
We're going to get that. We're going to get to that question.
Yeah.
Reasoning, but for me, I told you, I grew up with family that really taught me the importance of African-American history. So early on, I knew the Redskins, the Washington football team, was the last team to integrate. So I was never allowed to root for them or cheer for them growing up. So, I mean, quite naturally, me and my dad became Ravens fans. Like, Ed Reed is my all-time favorite player, you know, growing up with a team that had just – and I'm a defense person. I love a great defense.
Okay.
That's what the Ravens team has been known for, until Derek – Henry messed that up, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
We don't get into that, though.
Yeah, we are.
So many greats have come through that team. What they've done, I don't think people realize. Of course, we know what happened with the Mayflower, and, you know, we're not going to hold anything bad against that other team. But, you know, for a team to grow like they have and have accomplished so much so young, like, we all know we probably should have had another Super Bowl ring, but that got up last year. But we're excited for this season should we have it. But it's just a special team. Baltimore is since inception, and I'll be that until I go on the ground.
Now, Kelsey, we got to apply some pressure on you here on the Wise Guys Sports Show on the Worldwide Sports Network. We have to. Last year, your team won the AFC North with a 14-2 record and was the number one overall seed in the AFC playoffs, but they lost in the divisional round to the Tennessee Titans 28-12. What went wrong for your Ravens?
Oh, I want to hear this.
Oh, my gosh. Me and my friends debate about this all the time. That bye week, we had the momentum, and then the bye came. They relaxed. They got comfortable. We show up. It was rusty on the offensive side. Lamar wasn't the Lamar that we've seen on that Madden cover, just the Lamar we've seen the whole season. But also, the defense fell apart. It fell
they did.
Apart. It was embarrassing. So Derrick Henry had his way. He manhandled that defense. You think about Earl Thomas and just so many others. And, I mean, it was bad. Like, it was hard for me to keep watching that game. And I just knew. You just had to keep watching. Right?
Yeah.
Best team. And this was the best record in the Ravens franchise history. Lamar Jackson was just doing incredible things. Like, it was tough. It was tough. I think on both sides of the ball. But honestly, I think that bye week, I think that hurt them. Like, I think they got comfortable. They started to believe the hype. You know, when you believe that hype, they were so used to being the underdogs the entire season. Then all of a sudden, you know, you're the favorite. You've got this. And think about it. I was thinking about Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. Come on.
Right. Exactly.
Look.
True. Yeah, well, it's funny though, Kelsey, because Clarence, he thinks Ryan Tannehill is an elite quarterback. I don't know how. Yes,
back on Ethan. I want to hear this, Clarence.
I'm just saying. Look, he got traded. He got traded from Miami to Tennessee, and Marcus Mariota, he wasn't getting the job done, and Ryan Tannehill came in and it took over the starting quarterback. He led them to playoff wins. He was one game away to beating the best of the best, the Kansas City Chiefs. Like you said, we didn't expect Ryan Tannehill to go to no AFC championship. This was a surprise. So I'm like, that makes him elite. That makes him elite because he made people believe in him,
Clarence.
Good. I wouldn't say it was Ryan Tannehill. Come on.
Thank you. Now, see, Kelsey, this is what I explained to Clarence. I told him the reason why the Tennessee Titans overachieved and got to the AFC Championship game, it wasn't because of Ryan Tannehill. It was because of Derrick Henry. And you know, Ryan Tannehill got paid in the offseason, Kelsey. And I told Clarence that I believe Ryan Tannehill – he should be paying for Derrick Henry's Christmas gifts and his family this year. He should be paying for Derrick Henry's family's Christmas gifts because I think Derrick Henry got Ryan Tannehill that contract. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is an elite quarterback, me personally.
Literally, Ryan Tannehill had the dream. Okay, I'm going to put this in relationship terms. He had that beautiful girl, right, which is Derrick Henry. That girl that you've always admired on Instagram, the one that you've always been trying to go after, and makes you look good. That's exactly what he had in Derrick Henry.
Yep.
That's what happened. And I think Ryan Tannehill, again, not a bad quarterback, but let's all remember we had a good quarterback on the market like a Cam Newton. You see how long it took him to get signed. Ryan Tannehill, and Cam, think about how good he can be if he has the right cast of characters in New England, even though, geez, it seemed like, ooh, with COVID, I mean, New England players are dropping left and right, right? I'm not playing this season.
Yeah. Yep.
Ryan Tannehill was in a good situation. He was in a good situation. And it matters. I think even when we talk about the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, he's a talented, talented quarterback. But he's also in the right situation with the coach that understands him, an offense that's able to go around his best abilities, and people that look good. And that's why even I'm excited for Lamar. Marquise Brown put on 28 pounds of muscle. Think about what
I want to ask you this, though. Kelsey. You know, when y'all drafted Lamar Jackson and you seen all the hype, he's a running back, he's not no quarterback, and what is Baltimore doing of drafting him? Actually, 31 teams passed on him. Even the team Baltimore passed on him, but they came back in the first round and got him back. So tell me, like, how was your what was your reaction when y'all did draft the Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, let me tell you, I've been a Lamar fan. I always root for the underdog. And how perfect was it that when we had Ozzie Newsome, who was the African-American GM in the National Football League, for him.
He's a magician.
A black quarterback. And if you know Ozzie, Ozzie knows his stuff. When Ozzie goes right. And as we say in Baltimore, and Ozzie we trust. And that's what it was. I think he was a very different style of quarterback than Joe Flacco. So I think that's why you had some Ravens fans at first going, what? Is this going to work?
Yeah.
Now what they've been able to do with Lamar Jackson, who's under him? RG3. Talk about just similar styles and someone who can really compliment him and back him up. It's an exciting time in Baltimore, and we've never had anything like it. And mind you, I remember when Lamar played his first game, it was rough. It was bad. But I think what made him so special is after that, he went that all season, just became a beast, a monster. And then we saw what he was able to do the next season. And now we're all ready for week three, the Chiefs and the Ravens, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson going.
Yes.
You can't forget week five. You can't forget week five, Kelsey. Y'all play against my boy Joe Burrow and the Bengals, man. So we
nobody cares about the Bengals.
Trust me. This is an AFC North conversation, Trey. So you gotta listen to this, man.
Okay. So Kelsey, in free agency, this year y'all brought in Matthew Judon, outside linebacker. Y'all got Derek Wolfe, defensive end, Justin Ellis, defensive tackle. You know, re-sign Jimmy Smith, cornerback. Which free agent signing excites you the most for your team, and which player will have the biggest impact that y'all sign in free agency?
You started with it, Judon. Like, I think he was a piece that not enough people talked about, but he's such a core piece of that team. He's a heartbeat of that team. Because think about it, for a long time, I think this team has always had loud voices, right? For a long time, it was Ray Lewis when he was with the team. Judon is that player. As he says, body built by Taco Bell. If you're a Ravens fan, you know that. With Taco Bell, but he's an inaugural piece of that team. I think that was great. Calais Campbell. Not enough people are talking about that, though.
He's a beast.
They somehow, like, even though this team was loaded last year, they got more loaded. And then how they drafted, I think they had one of the best draft classes. So, again, I think this is why they're putting the league on notice. As long as Lamar stops hopping over Jets and stuff and scaring the hell out of us here in Baltimore, I feel like it's going to be a fun time again. I think we're so privileged and blessed to have Lamar Jackson in this division. I mean, people are talking. And then also think about it. No more Tom Brady, right? No more Tom Brady in New England. Like, it's going to be, I think, just the time for him to rise and shine. And I love his saying, you know, nobody cares, work harder. He always knows he's an underdog. I think that's what fuels him. But those free agent signings, job well done to the front office.
So let me tell you this, Kelsey. For us Cincinnatians, we're not happy that we got to play with a play against a quarterback that can run. And I think that what the Bengals did, they signed a lot of players that was good against the run. You draft a lot of athletic players. So I think that's going to be a challenge upon us because we're dealing with a quarterback that can run. And he's a very underrated thrower. So when I think of Baltimore, I'll be like, oh, man, Lamar Jackson, man. God, man, we got to deal with this. But his defense – I read in this article, they was ranked the number one defense going into 2020. I'm like, are you serious? But yeah. I'm very excited though for the Baltimore and the AFC North showdown, man. I'm definitely gonna be tuned in.
Real quick, Kelsey, I want to say this real quick. I have to exclude myself from the rest of the Cincinnatians. I am a diehard Packers fan. I don't know if you had a chance to look at my Instagram or my Facebook, but I'm a diehard Packers fan.
How did that happen?
I've always been a Packers fan, Kelsey. Since I was a young kid, my mom, she was buying me like Green Bay Packer blankets. I had Packer trash cans and a Packer toothbrush when I grew up. I've never been a Bengals fan, so I had to disassociate myself from what Clarence just tried to say. I wanted you to know I am a fan of a team that has won Super Bowls, and has had playoff success. I just want you to know that before we moved on.
Shade, man. That is the most shade.
I had to let it be known.
Oh, my God.
Now, real quick, Kelsey. John Harbaugh is leading the charge for your Ravens, and he's 128-81 overall as a head coach. He's won 61% of his games. How do you feel about John Harbaugh as a coach, and do you believe he can help with the development of Lamar Jackson as his career goes along?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, there's a reason why John Harbaugh won Coach of the Year with Lamar Jackson. I mean, their chemistry is just undeniable, and he works with Lamar. He didn't try to change Lamar. I think that's what's so special about John Harbaugh. If you talk to players, you say, he's a player's coach. He gets us. He understands us. And look, I know he has that older brother that gets more attention, but John is doing the right job, and it's an exciting thing. And think about what the Ravens have done under his leadership. It's been incredible. They're a team you usually always put in the playoffs. You're not worried about them, you know, getting to the playoffs. It's how they will do in the playoffs. So that's because of John. I think he's been an it's such an important part about it. And then, again, to have a quarterback like Lamar, who was underestimated, to believe in him, allow him to grow. I mean, there were some times in games I'm like, what is John doing? He trusts Lamar so much. If Lamar was like, hey, coach, I think I can do this. And it's like they must go for 3 on the 50-yard line. I'm like, no way. Like, don't do that. And, you know, John trusts. And it gets the job done. But again, that's what you need. You need a coach that believes in you to be the best of your abilities. And I think a coach that allows you to be unique. I think that's what Cam Newton needs. I hope he finds that, because again, you have these unique style quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are just different, right? I mean, Lamar has opened up the game. Even Michael Vick is giving his praises. Like, that's when you know you're doing something. Michael Vick gives you praise. I mean, it's great. So I think John is the right man for the job. And I mean, he's probably one of the few coaches in the NFL, I think, who knows he has some job security.
So you keep mentioning Cam Newton, though, Kelsey. So who you have favorite winning the AFC East?
You know, I'm going to tell you why I keep mentioning Cam Newton. Because I get so frustrated. I get so frustrated with everyone saying, he's done. He's washed. He's not.
Me too. Me too, Kelsey. Me too.
What Cam Newton did in Carolina, and I get tired of disrespect. And I think and again, this is a different Patriots team, and I think we also cannot say he's going to be the next Tom Brady, because that's not Cam. Cam is amazing, though. But Cam, I mean, Tom Brady's like untouchable. So if I could pick anybody, I would have picked Cam Newton, especially when we saw the quarterbacks that were available. But I thought it was disrespectful how long he was on the market, and then you see what he got signed for.
Yeah.
It's like Cam has it anymore, and that. That hurts me. And if anything, that's why I'm excited he actually went to this division. I think it's going to be great football. And I don't think you can count the Patriots out. I think before, honestly, we were. But honestly, at this point, give them a chance. With Cam at the helm, who knows? They might can do that job.
Yeah, I agree, Kelsey. I actually have the Patriots winning the AFC East. Yeah. But then I saw they had 8 players that opted out. So I'm kind of changing my pick. But when you talk about Cam, I didn't like the way the Carolina Panthers treated Cam Newton, Kelsey.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they really, really disrespected Cam. And me and Clarence talked about this on our show. When they released Cam, Kelsey, they released him via text. I thought that was so disrespectful, and it was just rude. And then they had a poll. Before they released him, they had a poll, a Twitter poll question, about the greatest Panthers in history. They didn't even have Cam Newton as a candidate. They had Julius Peppers. I think they had Luke Kuechly and Steve Smith. I'm like, are you serious? And I think Cam, he devoted so much blood and so much commitment to that Panther organization. I thought they could have done better by Cam. And if you're going to break up with someone, you break up with them face-to-face, not via text. That's so weak to me.
Right? It was hurtful. It was hurtful. Let me tell you, me here in D.C., some wanted that reunion of Cam Newton with Ron Rivera here. But, of course, that would have meant Dwayne Haskins would not have been that guy. And I think Washington is putting so much behind Dwayne Haskins to be that guy. And I hope he has a breakout season. He needs to have a breakout season. But it would have been special, right? I mean, if Cam and Ron could have reunited for this Washington franchise, I mean, it would be fun. Because let me tell you, fans here in D.C., they keep fighting for those RG3 days. Like, that's the glory days they went back here in Washington. Yeah. Not coming anytime soon, but I mean, that was a special time in Washington. So I think that was probably the last time that people really felt hope and dreams. And actually on that, I want to go back to the Ravens really quick, because I thought this was fun. I had Chase Young's dad on my show listening with K&N, and it was great because he said, look, I love my son and he's so awesome, but I'm most excited to see if he can get to Lamar Jackson. Because he's like, if he can get to Lamar Jackson, he's like, Chase Young is preparing for Lamar Jackson because he wants to be that guy that gets him down. So again, I think it's going to be a fun football season. Should we have it, of course, with COVID?
Chase is a beast.
He is a beast.
So if he's chasing Lamar Jackson, he better get to him before Lamar even look left and right. That's all I'm saying.
But yes. Real quick, Clarence. Yeah. I want to ask Kelsey about a situation that took place in Baltimore, and this is me. I already threw my shade at you, Clarence. Now I got to throw some shade at Kelsey. How do you feel about that 4th-and-12 play from a few years ago when the Bengals actually eliminated the Ravens? I know y'all remember that. Where were you, Kelsey, when that happened? And how did Maryland as a state, how did they take it? How did Baltimore take it?
He brought that up, Kelsey. That's shade.
No text about names. Never come back on this show. No, I'm just fine. But it's hurtful. I mean, it was one of those things to me. It was like, I can go back to this, the Billy Cundiff moment. Like, I mean, it's just some of those moments that you just don't forget and you start punching a wall. Like, you take off of work for the week. Like, you go into depression state. It was tough. Enough. And again, I think, and honestly, the next time I felt like that was probably with the Derrick Henry thing, because I was running my mouth on this past football season. Like, the Ravens are about to do it. I was finally placing bets. Like, I was that excited. And then lo and behold, I guess Derrick Henry didn't hear what I was saying to people because he messed up my dream. But it was just one of those moments. And I think the Bengals, even though that's usually like, it's crazy, no matter how good the Ravens are, I feel like they usually can give a tough time. It's those like crazy games like that that we actually have to watch.
Yes.
The Bengals and the Browns sometimes. You're like, this team is good. How are y'all struggling against these teams? But those are the games.
Kelsey, I was in such disbelief when I was watching that game. It was 4th-and-12. All the Ravens had to do was get one stop, and the game was over, and they were going to the playoffs. No. I couldn't believe it.
You know who was that quarterback? Andy Dalton. He came in the clutch again, man. But, you know, Andy's gone. But Andy is gone, so I'm glad he's gone. But Kelsey, I want to ask you this. So – you know, the old Washington Redskins, they changed their team to the Washington football team. And you living in, and you being in Maryland, tell me, how does those fans out there in Maryland, like, handle the situation that Dan Snyder decided to change the team to Washington football team?
You know, it's been a crazy time in the DMV, to say the least. Like, one, we're D.C., so we have the crazy political scene going on here. And then this – and that's crazy. You see it's such a unique place right now because fans are still excited. You see what the Nats have done, the Mystics have done. You know, it's been a fun, the Caps, like, we've been winning championships, you know, the city of champions. But then you go to, we're a football city. People love the Washington football team. And then I think the old Washington Redskins name, it was 50-50 for people here. Being a football town, everybody has some type of Washington football gear in their house, right? It just is what it is. And so many people had attached onto that name. Think about it, 100 years, like 1932. Think about how long that name has been a part of tradition here. I mean, we just lost Chief Z, who was an African-American male who'd be at every football game dressed up in headgear, and everybody would go to Chief Z, take pictures with Chief Z. It was like the thing to do. So I think half the people here are like, wait, we have never used, half the media here had never used that name because it was an offensive term, right? There's other people saying it's always been offensive. They've never used the name. And the other half are saying, what do you mean? This is our heritage. This is what we want. And I kind of tie it to the Confederate flag thing where people didn't want to let it go. They didn't want to let it go. And if you see now, if you go on their social media, some people refuse to not call them the Washington Redskins anymore. But at the same time, I think now, since time has gone on, people are starting to embrace it more. I know the big thing, people just want to keep the hashtag HTC. What name is going to be the name, but it's an interesting time in DC to say the least. I think people are having
oh. Okay, Kelsey. So
I had to fix my reception.
Real quick, I wanted to ask you, in the city of Baltimore and just overall in Washington, D.C. as well, because I got a sister. My sister lives in Washington, D.C. She lives literally right across from the Washington football team stadium. Are there more Ravens fans or Washington football fans?
Oh, for sure, Washington football fans. Like, Washington is, like, I think number 3 in how big the franchise is. Or another under Dallas. Them changing the name was so huge because they're such a valuable franchise. Like, people here live and breathe by the football team, no matter how good or bad they are. It just is what it is. And so Baltimore, even though they're the better team right now, they have less fans. It's a smaller pocket. You know, the Orioles, same thing. So definitely, definitely, definitely way more Washington fans throughout the area.
Okay, I got one more question for Clarence before we switch to basketball. Kelsey, who is the greatest Baltimore Raven in NFL history?
I told you, I shared my answer. I don't care what anybody says. Like, Ed Reed is my all-time favorite player.
No, so okay. Now, I know you said that's your favorite, but is he the best in Raven history? You say yes?
Best, because I think what he did for the safety position, I mean, most, if you are a good safety, you probably are trying to take something from his game, and what he did, I mean, you quarterbacks, Peyton Manning would say it, like, when you saw Ed Reed, you were afraid to throw it. Changed.
Yes.
And so, I know most people would probably call Ray Lewis, and we know what he did for the middle linebacker position, but Ed Reed was just something special. He was the ball hawk. I mean, he was a ball hawk. He could have played offense if he wanted to. He was just that good. He was just that good.
Yes, so, I agree with you completely.
So, Kelsey, I got a question real quick. Yeah. So I was watching The Herd from Colin Cowherd, and he had a prediction that the Baltimore Ravens is going to go 16-0, and they got the weakest road schedule in the NFL. So tell me, do you honestly believe the Ravens going to even come close to, like, 16-0? I'll take 15-1, 14-2, 13-3. Like, do you believe this type of –
Fanatic,
he just said.
Look, I believe in the team. They can do it if they want, but I'm going to say
no.
At least 15-1, because I think that Chiefs game is because if you remember, the Ravens beat them last year. Pat Mahomes has a vengeance, but the Ravens want to prove again that they are the best teams. I think that game is one you have to look at. And then, of course, that revenge game against that team down in Tennessee. But I think 15-1, but you know what? They can do it. I mean, they have a good team on both sides of the ball. Like, it's as long as it's injury-free, as long as Lamar is good, it could happen.
All right, Kelsey, let's switch gears to some NBA. As the NBA restart has taken place in Orlando, how do you feel about the gameplay so far, watching it on TV or, you know, and do you think we will crown a champion in Orlando?
Yeah, look, I hope we crown a champion. I think we all need it because COVID has just been a lot on us. But I love the plan. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, Devin Booker is able to send Kendall Jenner strawberries on Instagram. Life is good. Life is good in the bubble.
Yeah.
it's fun, you know, and I think it's, I mean, y'all talked about Dame and what Dame is giving us. Even the Suns coming out of nowhere. Like, it's just been a special, special time. And I think we've, well other than our DC team, sorry, Washington Wizards fans, but they're a little short, but you know. But hey, Giannis decided to do some head bumping. And the Wizards did make some type of impact in the bubble, I guess. But overall, I think the play has been good. I mean, I think, you know, you do see some exhaustion. I think Zion. I'm like, oh, we wanted more. But overall, I've been pleasantly pleased, and I'm just happy zero COVID cases and that they're giving us great basketball night in and night out. And LeBron, what LeBron is doing, you can't be mad at.
Well, actually, that's where I was going with it next, Kelsey, because me and Clarence, we disagree on how good the Lakers actually are. He even went as far as to say they are a loaded team a few shows ago. What are your expectations for the Lakers once the playoff starts?
Let me tell you, I think LeBron came there with a reason and a purpose. I know Dame said that in his post-game interview, but I would say LeBron did the same thing. He knew what he was doing when he was going to L.A. We all know what happened earlier this year with the loss of Kobe Bryant. And so I think he's taking all that and turning it into, this is my time, this is my legacy, I'm only getting older. And what a time to do it than in the bubble. We see how he's gelling and meshing. You see Kyle Kuzma saying he can shoot over Jesus. Like, he's just that confident.
Yeah.
Right now for this Lakers team. And so I think they are expecting nothing less than the best. Y'all talked about it. The Warriors are sitting at home. They're not that team anymore that anyone's worried about, you know, in the West. And I think they're not going to feel good unless they come home as champions. And I think LeBron wants it. He has a team to support him. You know, what AD is doing, I mean, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. If they can keep things going, I'm excited.
You think they can beat the Clippers, Kelsey, in the Western Conference Finals?
Good. Let me tell you, the Clippers are very good. But look, I want the Clippers to piss off the Lakers like they did to Dame Lillard, so we can see them just go off. Because I think that's what you saw happen. Hey. I mean, Dame was like, all right, y'all. All right. And then we saw what he turned that
into. Look, Kelsey, I told Trey, they're loaded with experienced veterans and enough talent for them to make it deep into the playoff. That's what I wanted to clear up, though, because they is loaded with a lot of experience, the Lakers team, and I do got them winning the NBA Finals because I'm not betting against playoff Bron. And Trey, in his heart, he believes the Portland Trailblazers is going to knock off the Lakers. I said, bruh, LeBron hasn't never lost a first round matchup, man. You really think he's gonna lose to a team that's struggling to get into the eighth seed?
Let me explain my position, Kelsey. Let me explain my position. See, I'm of the belief that the Lakers, they don't have enough. They are a top-heavy basketball team. You got LeBron James, obviously, three-time NBA champion, three-time Finals MVP. We know what LeBron's going to bring to the table. We know Anthony Davis, his talent warrants him to be top five in the NBA. But after that, there is a significant drop-off. And I'm comparing them to other teams in the bubble that have perimeter shooting, have explosive players, and I believe my Portland Trail Blazers have that. And Gary Trent, who's a sniper from the three-point line. Damian Lillard, we all know he's a great shooter. Carmelo Anthony, one of the greatest scorers in NBA history. I think the Portland Trail Blazers are going to give LeBron and the Lakers fits in the first round, and I think it's going to be a seven-game series minimal, and anything can happen in a seven-game series.
Nice. Look, you just made it real interesting. But look, I like the Trail Blazers. I love what they're doing. Skinny Melo, Bubble Melo, whatever you want to call him. I think what he's been able to add has just been magnificent. And you guys said it. People wrote him off. What better way to come back than exactly what he's doing? He's been a perfect compliment. And it's going to be fun. But again, I don't think you can write the Lakers off. And Lakers fans will make sure you know that. But again, I think the Lakers are playing with a chip on their back after all that's been going on this year. So I think it's only right if they were able to
see, Kelsey, I thought before the NBA shutdown, the Lakers were the favorites because they were steamrolling their way into the playoffs. They had all the momentum. You remember, they had beat Giannis and the Bucks Friday in L.A. Then they beat the Clippers on Sunday in Staples Center. So I thought at that moment, LeBron and the Lakers were rolling. I think the layoff hurt the Lakers more than any other team in the bubble, Kelsey, because right now they're last in three-point field goal percentage. They're last in overall field goal percentage. They can't shoot and they can't defend the three. I think that's a recipe for a team that can be upset in the first or second round of the playoffs. I definitely don't think they're going to be the Clippers. I really don't.
You were shaking your head.
Look, because I'm gonna be honest. The Lakers don't have good guard. They don't play defense on guards. That right there is something they have to get better. And when you get a player like Rondo, that's another defensive player for that Lakers team. Like I just think this Lakers team is deep. It's deep enough, and they gonna win it, Kelsey. I'm just telling him this, that the Portland Trail Blazers. I gave him the benefit. At first I said if they LA in five. But I'm saying L.A. in six because Dame Dollar is playing on another level.
Okay, real quick, Kelsey. We got a couple quick hitters for you real quick before we get out of here. Anthony Davis or Giannis, who was the better player?
Oh, I'm going Giannis.
Thank you, Kelsey.
We're going to have to bring you back on so we can argue that another show. Okay. LeBron, Kobe, Michael Jordan, rank them 1 to 3 all time.
All right, I'm going MJ, LeBron, Kobe.
Thank you. You are a smart woman, Kelsey.
Okay.
You want to shout out social media?
I got one more. Hold on. I'm no Clarence. Kelsey, who is your NBA MVP?
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, okay. All right. I think you have to give it to Giannis.
Thank you.
Three strikes. Oh, yeah. Oh. Woo.
Sorry, but Giannis lights out. Giannis gives it all on the floor, and he's just incredible. And he's why the NBA has a bright future.
Last question. Who are your favorites to get to the NBA Finals, East and West, and who's going to win a championship?
Ooh, okay. So I said Lakers. The East is actually the one I'm questioning. But I'm saying the Lakers are going to win it. From the East, honestly, I don't know. I think it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. But honestly, does it matter?
I got Milwaukee.
That one.
Yeah. Okay, Kelsey, you got any social media you want to shout out before you get out of here?
So people can follow me at The Real K Nelson on Twitter, Instagram, Real K Nelson. On Facebook, just my name, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Check out my website, KelseyNicoleNelson.com, and check out my podcast, Listen In with K&N. Thank you all for having me. This was fun.
Yes, Kelsey. We definitely want to bring you back on because I have some NBA I want to challenge you on. So we definitely want to bring you back on.
Let's do it. I'm all for it. Let's do it. Long as you're nice to the Wizards, I will come back on because they've had enough hurt.
Oh, thank you. Talking about Wizards.
Thank you so much, Kelsey, for joining us on Wise Guys on the Worldwide Sports Network. We're definitely going to be in touch with you by bringing you on again. You have a great night.
Thanks for having me, guys. Bye.
Yeah.
All right, Clarence. Great interview with Kelsey. Great. Nicole Nelson. Yes, it was great. It was a nice interview for sure. But let's switch gears. Let's talk. We got a couple more minutes. Let's talk about a few topics before we get out of here. We got 5 minutes. So the Big Ten and the Pac-12, both conferences postponed all fall sports until the end of the year. Both conferences will attempt to play football in spring. Big Ten commissioner, he said, quote, too much uncertainty regarding potential medical risk. The SEC, the ACC, Big 12 all scheduled to start the season in September. Nick Saban says he wants players to play. I heard Ryan Day as well says he wants to play this season. Harbaugh as well. Do you believe we will have college football this fall? And what do you make of the Big Ten postponing the season?
Well, the conferences that's trying to that's canceling now, they trying to get like something going on in the springtime. But I truly believe it's going to be some college football, but it won't be the same, Trey. You won't see a lot of Big Ten action. You're not even going to see no Pac-12, man. And to be honest, I love watching the Pac-12 because I feel like them the most skilled players that come out of there, like they're skilled enough, and it's going to hurt the NCAA because you only go see like the Big 12. SEC, hopefully the ACC will join, and it's going to hurt the college football, you know, the fans. It's hurting me because I watch players that's, oh, I think he's next, and I think he's coming up, and I think he's going to be here in a few more years. So I think that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt their future with the NFL too. So them not having no college football, it's going to hurt.
Yeah, and the pressure is on the NCAA right now because right now this is a time for the college athletes to voice their opinions about, you know, how they want to get compensated for playing these sports. You know what I mean? Because the college athletes feel as if, hey, if we got to go to class and, you know, attend school, why can't we play football? And I think the NCAA right now, they have a dilemma because if college athletes are attending or playing football and they're going to class, then it's going to buffer them feeling as if they should get compensated for their services on the field, because we talk about it all the time. The athletic directors, the head coaches, you know, the everybody in the university is benefiting from these players' talents, and these players aren't getting compensated. I think it's a travesty, and I think it needs to be addressed. And I think this is a time that right now in America that we're dealing with the COVID-19 and all the social injustices that we're talking about in our country. I think it's also time for collegiate athletes to speak up and explain how they feel and why they should be compensated for their services, you know, for their respective sports. So I think NCAA, they kind of got their hands tied right now because they got to make a decision. These athletes feel, if I got to go to class, why can't we play football? But again, if they're playing football and what, like, you know, they want to feel like, hey, at least I'm getting compensated for playing football. Yeah, the coronavirus is a risk that I'm taking, but at least I'm getting paid. So you feel better about going out there risking your health when you're getting compensated for it. So I just think the NCAA, they don't want to have that conversation. It's uncomfortable for them.
Yeah, it's too uncomfortable. And players that when they want to play football instead of just going to class and going to their dorm room, like football is to mean a lot to them. And the conferences that's not even playing this year, it's going to hurt the players more because actually I heard Pac-12, they even stated that they wasn't even ready for this. They wasn't even prepared to, like, shut down because they had a lot of recruits coming in. And now you got to tell those recruits there is no season. And now I feel like that transfer portal is going to get massively big, man, just because – players cannot play in the Big Ten or the Pac-12. So that transfer portal, it's gonna get very exciting, Trey. It's gonna get very exciting.
All right, Clarence. I think we only got about 1 minute left before we wrap up. Everybody, remember, go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at @WiseGuys_H, also on Facebook, Wise Guys. It was so great to have Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Fox Sports reporter and Big East reporter. She's covered the NBA Finals, WNBA Finals, Super Bowl. It was so exciting to have her on the show today.
Oh, yeah.
What was your biggest takeaway from our interview, real quick, before we got here?
I just felt like it was a blessing to get someone that's already into the field, like on the show, because I felt like I learned something every day from her. I mean, not every day from her, but I learned something new. Like what she's telling me, I'm taking notes and I'm carrying on in life. And it was a great interview, man. I loved it. I want to bring her on again, man.
Especially I want to bring Kelsey on again as well. And I completely agree with you. Hearing the experiences that she's dealt with in the industry, it was fun to listen to, and I learned a lot from it as well. But everybody, we'll see you on Friday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Worldwide Sports Network. Wise Guys signing off. Have a good night.